I'm a true feminist. I'm very happy to be a woman. I'm very proud to be a woman. I don't mind jokes about women because I will laugh at men. I think it's only fair.
That's very easy. Penises are funny. Continue.
Well, I've seen men naked and yeah, that's funny. And
it's not even the same color as the rest of our body. We get a giggle out of it. Glad to have our next guest. A lot of you probably aren't necessarily familiar with her work, but she reached out to me online, and I was just really compelled by the story. Her name is Toni, and she is the founder of Marias, which is an acronym. We're not talking about West Side Story. So, Toni, thanks for coming on, and why don't you tell our listeners, to the Marleys were dead to begin with, what it is that you do and a little bit about Marias.
Right. Marias is an organization that I created because every time men tried to do something, they was automatically demonized by the far left.
Right.
And I also thought that seeing as when it comes to a certain religion of peace, women tend to be the ones that are going to be in the most amount of danger. And we have over 1 million predominantly white girls that have been raped by Pakistani Muslim men.
Now, this is your am I allowed to disclose the general area as to where you're calling from?
Absolutely.
Sorry, and I ended the phrase with from. That must offend the founders of the English language like yourself. I should not have ended with a presupposition. You're around London. So when you say predominantly white women who've been raped by Pakistani men, are you talking about England specifically, London?
Mostly England. England as a whole. Rotherham, Peterborough, Tellesley, Stevenage, Rochdale, Bradford, Birmingham. The list is endless.
Liverpool?
Liverpool, Manchester, Leicester, absolutely everywhere has been hit.
Because we don't think a lot, you know, I guess sort of what I know of Manchester, my wife spent quite a bit of time in the UK and I have some friends from there. You know, you think of Manchester as more of sort of a working class area. And I think Americans would think of areas outside of London as predominantly sort of white, homogenous, that they wouldn't have the same sort of multicultural issues with Islam and Sharia. You're saying it's across the whole country.
It's across the whole country. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you go towards the north, some parts of the north, like Lincolnshire, It has got a high predominant Muslim community. But where you find mostly cities across the UK, and you have to remember that if you look at England compared to America, we're minute.
Right.
So 1 million girls and growing. The number is growing. It's not. People don't understand that they talk about the historical rapes of these girls, but every day there's more.
Right. So what does Maria stand for exactly?
It's Mothers Against Radical Islam and Sharia.
Okay. So, and your central focus, is it namely women's rights in the face of Islam?
If I'm going to be really honest, I'm a little bit sick of the feminazi. I don't like the feminazi.
Okay.
I'm a true feminist. I'm very happy to be a woman. I'm very proud to be a woman. I don't mind jokes about women because I will laugh at men. I think it's only fair.
That's very easy. Penises are funny. Continue.
Well, I've seen men naked and yeah, that's funny.
It's not even the same color as the rest of our body. We get a giggle out of it.
Nothing matches. At least we make our handbags match. I mean, we go the full, you know.
This is true. Women are a work of art. Men, not so much. I accept it. Now, if I were to say something on the flip side with women where, you know, men tend to be physically stronger, maybe a little more durable, that's sexist. You're beautiful. We're durable. It's a Jeep versus a Ferrari.
Actually, I like to embrace the differences between men and women. I think that I see you equal in your right and equal in my right. I don't think you're better than me. I just think we're different. Women by nature nurture, whether we are mothers or not, we nurture. And the one thing that the whole world has in common, everybody has a mother. Everybody will marry somebody who will become a mother, or they will have daughters who will become mothers. Mothers is one thing that I felt connected.
Right.
The entire world, not just England, but the entire world.
Well, what about the idea of the breaking down now of gender completely, where two daddies are the exact same as a mother and a father? As a mother, do you feel like that's belittling to the role?
I don't think it's belittling. I mean, I personally don't have a problem with it. But then I'm quite a open-minded person, so it really doesn't faze me. But I also don't think it's wrong. I think the ladette culture that we have in England has been quite damaging for women.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's been quite emasculating for men.
Yeah.
Because I think men by nature want to go out and be the breadwinners, and we've been made to feel actually we must go out and be more powerful. We must get powerful jobs. And there's nothing wrong with a woman wanting to go out and get a powerful job.
Right.
But if we take time out to be mothers, it's very difficult to get back into the work role. So we're penalised at every opportunity to a degree. But right. I like the differences in men and women, and I think it's something we should embrace.
You know,
whereas a Nazi just hates men.
This is true. And we'll get to the big irony, because I want to give you the full segment on that, on the feminazi or third wave feminists, as Paul Joseph Watson puts it, and their irony in sort of giving Islam a pass, right? But I will say this on a personal level. It's funny you talk about that. We've talked about that, and it's one thing to talk about on the program sort of from a third-person perspective. But my wife and I had a bit of a scare. Now, my wife works, and I work. And I think like Carly Fiorina. A feminist is anyone who has a choice. If you choose to work, great. If you choose to be a stay-at-home mom, either way, you're a feminist. It's your choice.
Yeah.
My wife chooses to work, but the agreement was she didn't want to work when we have children. So we've known that. And we had a scare where we thought there might be some little crowders coming into the world. And
I did.
Right. You know, and it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't be furious about it. I just, it happened, and I thought, I kind of got excited for a bit, and I said, okay. And I remember what went through my head was, okay, well, you know what? This is kind of a relief, because that means that I'm going to be in charge of the work. I'm going to be in charge of winning the bread, and I know that the other duties of taking care of the home, the children for the time being, it gives me a clear-cut view of what I need to do. And that, funny, that went through my head within the first minute, and I felt a sense of relief. And I didn't know that about myself until that situation arose. And I guess that means I'm a horrible patriarchist.
No, I think it means you're a man.
How dare you?
I know. I don't know how I could have told any difference between your beard and mine, but you're definitely a man.
Well, it is tough. You never know. I mean, I will say this. I just wrote about it. Women get the short end of the stick right now on the transgender movement, because you will never be given the benefit of the doubt again from a man hitting on you. We will be back with Tony of Maria Slaughter with Crowder. Stay tuned. Tony, we are back. Sorry that took a weird turn, but I wanted to give you a full segment to talk about feminism and Islam. So it's not quite there yet here in the United States. We've observed the UK from afar. You started off by saying you couldn't stand the feminazis. How does that tie in now to women against Sharia and Islam?
It ties in because feminazis refuse to stand up for all women. They choose to go to the street. There was a worldwide women march, and the chap who does types all my things for me, because he's far cleverer than me, I hate to admit, but it's true, he went along and was handing out leaflets, and they were screaming at him, literally, do you have a womb? Do you have a womb? And I said, but did you not think to turn around and say, so what about every woman who had cervical cancer and had everything taken away? Does that make her less of a woman? No. But what they won't do is stand up for women who are being beaten because of Sharia law.
Right.
Which now, is operating in our country right now.
Now, people say that we reported on it. No one believed us when we reported on it. I think the number was 81 or 82 Sharia courts in the UK.
Over 100.
There's over 100 now.
Over 100 Sharia courts. And that's not including the ones operating within mosques.
Right.
Are not supposed to be operating within mosques, but are. They will try to tell you that they only deal with marriage, divorce, etc. But I've one particular lady who I went into Hyde Park with, which is the birthplace of freedom of speech. Her mum had died, and her dad said to her, "You must get out, get married." She went to Pakistan, fell in love with a guy. They came to England. As soon as they arrived back in England,
I know how this ends.
And he said to her, "You are nothing but filthy British kuffar."
What does that mean?
A kuffar is an insulting way of saying you're not Muslim.
Oh.
That's what the word kuffar means.
That sounds like a bodily function. You can imagine why it threw me off right away.
No, it really is that kind of bodily function. If you think about it in those terms, it
yeah. Well, it's funny, we had a woman on here who, in the States even, who had to leave Islam. And we had the first time we ever had to cover up her face, her voice. And she talked about how, oh, yeah, if my husband wanted to divorce me, he just needed to say divorce, divorce, divorce three times. Our marriage was a yeah. And she said that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize most Muslim marriages aren't really recognized. And if they are recognized for tax purposes, that's not respected within the mosque. It still comes down to Sharia.
The problem you've got is she married within the eyes of our law.
Mm-hmm.
But he divorced her within Sharia law.
Right.
Leaving her now, he took all her money. He went back to Pakistan after she spent 3 years of being beaten and investing her life savings into businesses. He took everything, because when a man divorces the woman, if they have children of a certain age, if they're above, I believe it's coming up to the six, the children automatically go to the men. Mm. The woman has no say in that. So they, if they want to divorce their husbands, they lose their children. They lose their money. They lose everything.
Now, is this a lot of people I can already see in the YouTube comments section saying, you're sensationalizing, you're just looking for a reason to discriminate against Islam. How widespread of a problem is this? Does this actually pose a problem to, like a republic like the United States? Does it actually pose a problem to the freedom, the democracy that is a place like
England? Absolutely, yeah. Okay. I mean, we have a problem with our freedom and democracy anyway. We've been beaten so much with the politically correct stick that you don't even say. I mean, I had a, there was a lovely guy in Hyde Park, black man, came up and said to me, you know, he doesn't agree with Sharia law and he thinks all women should be cherished. I said, well done, well said, young man, exactly as it should be. However, what a lot of people don't realise is that if you say you're a black man and I'm a proud black man, everybody will go, and I will be the first to say, and so you should be. But if I say I'm a proud white woman, I'm a white supremacist, white privileged, I'm a racist, fascist, Nazi, bigot, I get death threats every day. I get threats to rape me, sodomize me. I get these on a regular basis.
I would think rape would go with the sodomizing territory. I think it's a bit redundant if they're telling you both.
Well, no, because I think that actually the sodomizing is more of a humiliation tactic.
It's funny you say that. Because that was, I grew up in Montreal. A lot of people don't know that. So much more similar to Europe than where I am now in the United States. And my dad got cut off by a cab driver. And so we were in the car. I mean, we almost got cut off right downtown Montreal, you know, into a parked car. Very dangerous. So my dad cut him off. And I remember my dad yelled, rolled down the window and yelled, yeah, cabbies suck! And then the guy gets out and he pulls out his cane and he goes like this, like motions like a cane going, and he goes, I am going to F you and your family before you go home. I am going to F you. And I remember sitting there going, what is this? And I remember speaking with my Muslim friend about it. And he said, yeah, that's sort of like a domineering thing. It's a cultural thing. And it was so weird to me because I just thought, like, your insult is yelling, I'm gay. And to him, it was the ultimate.
I think that what a lot of people don't realize is that rape is used as a form of jihad. That's exactly what it's used for. And if you think about the word rape and then the word Islam, Islam means subjugation, domination, control.
Right.
Then you think about rape, subjugation, domination, control.
I hadn't heard the subjugation control part. I had heard, you know, submission to God is how they explained it to me in school, which was different from what I had read in the Quran, but that was sort of their sales pitch. You're saying, is that the actual translation of Islam?
Yeah. They, anybody will tell you that is exactly what Islam means. Subjugation, domination, control. There is also a word, I believe, don't quote me on this because I might get the word wrong, but I believe the word is Huri, which basically means sex slave.
Yeah.
So they can take what their right hand possesses. And if you believe you are, if they believe they are in a state of war with the West, therefore, these girls who are predominant. I mean, we had a problem with a lot of Sikh girls being targeted. Then it moved to white girls, predominantly white girls. And these girls, the things that have been done to them are, you could not imagine. The women that have contacted me themselves.
Now, what about people who would say these are just gangs looking for an excuse? Can this be directly attributed to an Islamic motivation?
In my opinion, yes, absolutely. Because if you look at the history of Islam, I mean, you have in America a very, very intelligent man called Dr. Bill Warner, mm-hmm. which surprises me because he is an American after all, and that is a joke. Geez. Okay.
I know. I get where it's coming from. You let your number one draft pick get away in the United States, and we came back, and now you have to fake it out. Like, well, at least we're still better in soccer. I get where you're coming from. I'll take the jabs. Go ahead.
You even call it soccer, and we know it's football.
I know. I just, call it a bunch of sprites running around with pink jerseys and buns in their hair. But I don't want to ruin your point.
No, you just stick to your American football where they don't know how to kick it straight. It's not my problem. It's true. But I do think that Dr. Bill Warner, if you watch some of his YouTube videos that he's made where he breaks it down, you can see the connection. And right. There is a connection. And what people won't know about me, and I've no shame in this at all. I myself was gang raped when I was 15.
Oh, God.
I know exactly what rape does. I know the devastation it causes. When these girls are raped, they are told they are filthy, white trash. Not at any point has any of these crimes been reported as being racially motivated. They will not acknowledge it as being racist. These girls have been let down by the social services, care homes, counsellors, police. Police won't act because of political correctness, because if they act, they're deemed racist.
Yeah. And I would imagine they probably try and deal with that in their own Sharia courts.
Well, no, because these are rape of white girls. I mean, I'm not saying Muslim women aren't being raped. I believe that they are. But the difference is, in Islam, you cannot refuse your husband's sex. Therefore, you cannot actually be raped. If you are raped, you must produce four male witnesses.
Right.
If you can't produce four male witnesses, you're an adulterer.
Now, when this happened to you, were they Muslim men?
They weren't, no. But what I ended up, I became a runaway. I lived on the streets for a year in London. And I encountered a young girl who was being prostituted by Pakistani men. She was 12 years old. They got her hooked on drugs. Basically, she'd been raped by her father. She couldn't go home. They took her in. We'll give you somewhere nice to stay, somewhere warm to stay, feed you. But then they got her hooked on drugs and started prostituting her out because now all of a sudden she owes them money for the drugs.
Well, I would say this, and I don't disagree with you at all. If you've followed any of the stuff that I've done on Islam, Muhammad was a horrible human being who committed heinous acts and was a hateful person. But I will say that what you've just described doesn't sound all that different from a pimp in the United States. So it would, right. But would you be able to argue and prove that as a portion of the populace, that either it is a more common occurrence for Muslim men in the UK to rape, target white women, or that they're not prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law if someone who looked like you had done it?
Yeah, I could send you link after link after link after link after link. I could inundate you with links, which would show you that we had, for example, a man raped an 11-year-old child, Muslim man, raped an 11-year-old child, and was spared jail because his wife couldn't speak English.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could send you the links.
How does that happen? How does someone who, you know, I don't know the exact judicial system, how it works there. I think it's similar to Canada where they still wear the funny wigs. I know that. How do they justify that kind of a ruling?
Because the race card is duly played, Islamophobia card, which is now being played on a regular basis. If we also now are running, we've got a shortage on prison spaces, so there's no room in the prisons for them. So much so we're actually moving hardened criminals into open prisons to accommodate more criminals. We've got immigration by the boatload. Literally by the boatload, trying to get into the country. And if you look at the boatloads of immigrants trying to get in via France and Italy, you'll note something, that these are young men. These are not women or children, the elderly or the infirm. Why are they men? Why are they young men? If you were in a country that was war-torn and you were fleeing, you take the weakest with you first, the women, the children, the elderly.
Good point.
That is not what we're getting. We're getting boatloads of young men that are able to climb the inside of lorries. Our lorry drivers are being fined thousands of pounds when immigrants are getting into their lorries, even though they don't know they're there. The lorry driver gets fined thousands of pounds because of it. These men, in my eyes, are nothing more than soldiers because they believe they're at war with us. So what do you do when you're at war? You send in the men.
Well, it's very interesting and actually brings me to some other points. So for those of you listening terrestrially, louderwithcrowder.com, we are going to have an extended, uncensored web cut here with Tony We will go on for as long as she wants, obviously, with a sensitive topic like this. So terrestrially, I will be back with Fun Dip. Everyone else, louderwithcrowder.com. Stay tuned. Okay, Tony. So we're here online. There are no more breaks. Sorry about that. We have to keep the lights on. A couple of things that you brought up, interestingly. So they're just sending, and I'm sure you would have data to back that up, I'm assuming, right? The young men coming in.
Go on to YouTube.
Right. I have to do my job there, not just like let it go past me. What is happening with the women who are being left, and is that changing the fabric of their population? Is it mostly women in these countries? Is there a disproportionate ratio of women to men?
These women in Islamic countries are rarely seen. They're mostly covered in burqas. They are really nothing more than breeding machines. I mean, Egypt, for example, has lowered the age of marriage down to as young as you can marry a child of 6 months.
Yeah.
Now, you can't vaginally penetrate that child, but you can thigh that child.
Okay. I'm afraid to ask. Go ahead. Explain this.
Thighing of a child is where the man places his penis between the thighs and brings himself off between the thighs.
Okay. And they'll do this with really, really young. Would it be plausible that? Here's my question. It seems like that's a cultural thing. Is it a common enough cultural practice that, let's say, Muhammad would have thighed 6-year-old Aisha?
No, he would have had sex with Aisha because he would have been permitted to anally have sex with her.
Okay. It's horrible, but what's the backing behind that? Like, is this, I mean,
the Quran.
I've never read that in the Quran, like, do her in the rear.
Read the Hadith.
Okay. I'll be honest. I've read the Hadith in the sense that it's very hard to comprehend.
Which Hadith?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I've read the Hadith in the sense that I've read books that have interpreted the Hadith, both as sort of pro-Islam that they were giving out at the Muslim College Club, and then from people like you've mentioned, I think people like Robert Spencer, because it's very hard to follow to just go in and read it.
Is in Islam itself, you have Sunni, Shi'i, Salafi, Wahhabi, and Ahmadi.
Right.
Each of those are different sects of Islam, or mm-hmm. different sects of Muslims. Each of those follow a different set of Hadiths.
Right.
But each of them will argue over whose hadiths are the genuine hadiths.
Right.
But yet the hadiths are nothing more than words supposedly heard by Muhammad himself.
Right.
Or said by Muhammad.
Right.
So they're not actually words of Muhammad, they're Chinese whispers.
Well, I get it. I did the Quran challenge, and when I talked about the hadith, you know, for his last words condemning the Christians and Jews, you had some come in and go, we don't even believe that. But the fact is, for the longest time, even those sects of Muslims did, and that's changed. And it's sort of the cafeteria Muslim, you know, you're picking and choosing. I think everyone would agree that when taken within current context, Muhammad was a pretty bad dude. And even if you think Jesus was imaginary, it's not at all the same kind of an example. You could have a bunch of people out now mimicking Jesus and we wouldn't have a problem. If they were mimicking Muhammad, you'd have terrorism. That, to me, is a legitimate point of view. That's always the view that I've held. But you talk about these sort of sexual practices, and I'm always curious now, is this across all sects, what you just said, would that be agreed upon across most mainstream sectors of Islam?
I mean, there's a really lovely chap that I've been speaking to who originates from Iraq. Mm-hmm. He's fluent in Iraq. He speaks fluent Arabic. He reads fluent Arabic. And he's made a few YouTube videos, which he's uploaded, which he breaks down paedophilia within the Quran itself. Mm-hmm. And not just the age of Aisha, but further so. I mean, to remember it off the top of my head, as I keep saying, I am blonde, so bear with me. But you can actually watch it and then listen to him. You can see where he's pointing it out, he's breaking it down, he's showing you the quotes direct from the Quran. You've only got to also look at Pakistan. Pakistan has a massive problem of little boys as young as 8 years old being raped by up to 30 men at a time.
Right.
That's happening in Pakistan. Everywhere you look where Islam is, rape is rife.
Well, you'd have Muslims who argue, I mean, homosexuality is wrong. It's outlawed under Islam, so they would say rape of young boys is not Islamic.
There is actually a quote in the Quran that justifies sex with a boy.
With a boy, not a grown man?
With a boy.
Okay.
They think, you know, if I have sex with a boy, it doesn't make me gay.
Right. I don't know how that works exactly. I'm not. I'm a little fuzzy on the math.
It makes you gay when you've got a hairy chest or something. I'm not quite sure 100% myself, but I do know that the guy that I speak to, he's very knowledgeable in what he's telling me.
Right.
And I do make a point of asking questions because I do want to know what I'm dealing with.
Well, what can you do about it? So you've started Maria, so it's sort of, what can you do about it in the UK? What's your call to action to people on this issue?
My call to action, first of all, has to be knowledge. Knowledge is power.
Right.
People have to, one, have to know this is happening. They, two, have to accept that it's happening. It's the same as our newspapers and our media will never call these men Muslim. They will call them Asian. That offends me greatly. These men are not Sikh, Hindu. I'm not saying you don't get the occasional Sikh that rapes or white people that rape. We get this all the time. We, you know, Jimmy Savile, Stuart Hall. We know we have rapists. The only difference is it's not sanctioned by the religion of that person.
Right.
You're raping because it is sanctioned by the very faith that you follow.
Right.
And the very law that you follow. So the point of Maria's is, first of all, we want to get, I have got a lot of women contacting me right now who have been brutally raped by not one man, but sometimes one particular girl, for example. When she was 13 years old, I believe it started when she was 12, 13, they groomed her, they then raped her, they then prostituted her out to uncles, brothers, fathers, sons. They were related always. They would literally take her from the lengths and breadths of the UK, take her to a flat, one would walk behind, one would walk in front. She would be made to lay on a bed. She wasn't permitted to get off of the bed. She wasn't permitted to wash. She wasn't permitted to use the toilet. They came in. They raped her repeatedly, up to 20 men at a time. She then started to severely self-harm, and I mean severely.
Right.
Just to the point of it being absolutely abhorrent for her, not for me, but for her. And she hoped that that would deter them. But one of them actually found it so exciting, he took it upon himself to take a blade and cut her whilst raping her.
Yeah.
Well, this continued right for many, many years. This was the ongoing. And a lot of it is taxi drivers up and down the country. Taxi drivers are heavily involved in the rape of these girls. And now Rotherham are saying taxi drivers must have CCTV in their cameras. And suddenly we've got a mass demonstration in Rotherham.
Right.
Taxi drivers saying, basically, if these girls want to be protected, let them pay for the camera to be fitted. We're not having them. And they've protested about having cameras.
And then you have stupid people in the UK, sorry, who are protesting Uber. Wouldn't it be great, too? Listen, I don't know where you line up politically. Wouldn't it be great if you guys had a Second Amendment and these women would be able to protect themselves? Think about this. Don't you have to at least
explain the amendment, because I'm English and we don't have amendments.
The right to bear arms. The right to protect yourself. That a woman should have a right to have a loaded gun in her purse to be able to protect herself from rape. Because it's very well understood that the only chance a woman has against a man is being armed. You're systematically putting women in a position being unable to defend themselves against rape. And I know, you know, that's a perfect example where people from the UK think, oh, this crazy United States gun culture. I mean, we had a situation with my wife. We had someone who tried to break into her house while she was in the house, knew she was in the house, was stalking the house, had been casing it out for a while. And I won't get into the logistics, but my wife is a Second Amendment woman. So I can't imagine people facing this in the UK not wanting more women to have the ability to protect themselves.
Unfortunately, we have a government that says, excuse me, extremely warm in here. We don't actually have that right. So therefore, right. You are right. We are. It is no longer safe for girls. And me, I've got a daughter of 20. And she will let me know when she's arrived somewhere. She lets me know she's with her boyfriend. I know where she is, what time she's coming home. I don't let her walk home alone, but I won't let her get a taxi. It's as simple as that. It isn't safe for women anymore in England.
Would you want to see a right to bear arms for people, for law-abiding citizens in the UK to be able to protect themselves?
It would have to be done in a way. I mean, I don't believe in having these ooking great, you know, 12-bore shotguns. But I do think that women should have the right to be able to. I mean, we're not even allowed to carry pepper spray.
Right.
You know, so we've got nothing to protect ourselves. So personally, yes, I would like to see it, but I also know our government is weak. Right. And our prime minister even weaker, to the point of being an amoeba. He doesn't have a backbone.
But they're stronger than you, and they're stronger than you without guns. And that's always the reason I'm taking an opportunity here for when people say that Americans are crazy, it's so this doesn't happen. And even though Sharia is coming to the United States and political correctness is happening, you are talking...
We have it in Dearborn.
What was that?
You have it in Dearborn.
Well, yeah, I did a video in Dearborn. We have it in Dearborn, but it stays in Dearborn within themselves. And I mean, we have over 300 million guns in this country. That is a big failsafe. It's a big failsafe against a government that if it were to start saying, hey, we're going to instate this and give some kind of multiculturalism rights to Muslims to rape women, we're not going to prosecute them. And it allows women to protect themselves. If you look at places where concealed carry laws have been passed in the United States and the same laws that get trotted out by Piers Morgan and they talk about mass shootings, despite the fact that most public shootings occur in gun-free zones with a little simple handgun, not the big scary black rifle, but a revolver or a little semi-automatic, where those laws have been passed, women are safer. Rapes are down dramatically. Specifically, carjackings are down dramatically. And I just want to hear these stories in the UK. I think I would so much rather read would-be rapist shot dead in a ditch than woman raped.
Oh, I can't dispute that. And let me just add, just for the record, Piers Morgan really is a complete nutter arse. We really don't have the greatest of respect for that man at the best of times. And he was very quick to run out there to get American money.
Right.
And then talk about the great old England. Well, you was quick to leave it. So I don't have a great deal of respect for him anyway. I do think the women should have the right to be able to bear arms to protect themselves. But we know that's never going to happen. So we have to take other measures. Some of those measures have got to be that women have got to start standing up in mass together.
Right.
Now, I believe that the power lies in women, but the strength lies in men.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of it being a male-fronted organisation being pushed to the forefront, I believe men have as much right to be a feminist as I do.
Absolutely. Yeah, and not like the feminist who, the male feminist who just wrote for New York Mag, I don't know if you read that, where he said, as a feminist, he allows his wife to cheat on him because not allowing an open marriage would be anti-feminist. And I'm thinking you're just enabling your wife to act like a total.
Don't
and complete...
tell the Englishmen that they'll definitely want some of that. Oh yeah, because then we get to have a go to.
Right, exactly. No, he doesn't, but she does. That was his thing because he's a strong feminist and he would never forbid.
I mean, he's just a weak man.
Yes, exactly. He's just a weak man. Here's something I'd like to sort of. Firstly, where can people go to find Maria's more about it?
There is a Facebook and a Twitter.
Okay.
They can find us on both of them. What I do want is for the reason we want to speak to you is because America doesn't realize what it has coming to them.
Yeah.
And no offense meant, but you were a little bit slow coming in on the world wars. You know, we don't want you to be a bit slow when it comes to this. We need you to be.
I absolutely agree.
I think that if you don't understand what is happening in England, the likes of places like Luton, Tower Hamlets, where they're saying that there are no no-go zones in England. Trust me now, there are no-go zones in England.
Right. Well, I think it's important for English people to recognize your only people like you, your only allies are the religious American right. Not because they're crazy and they hate Islam, but because they are pro-freedom, they understand the Constitution, or libertarians, but the problem with things like Sharia law. The problem, listen, we've been talking about this for a long time, but leftists in America, our administration, they're constantly saying, no, this is fear-mongering, it's not true, and they point to the UK as an example for healthcare, for crime. I mean, they constantly trot out the UK and Australia for crime. They go, look, no gun crime. They don't talk about the rapes that go unreported. They don't talk about the violent crime, the stabbings, the muggings that are through the roof. So we are systematically lied to here in the country, and I hope that people like you in the UK who see it, get that that's not coming from all Americans. It is coming from the American left, and it's a proactive lying.
I think what you have to understand, we have left in our country too.
Right.
And they are apologists, they are appeasers, and they are cowards.
Right.
The truth of it is they know the truth, but they don't want to accept the truth because accepting the truth means they will be called a racist.
Right.
And that they fear more than anything else.
Yeah.
That terrifies them. But as I've said to people, I get told constantly, now I have got Muslim friends and I have Muslim women who come to me and I help them too. I give them support. I give them guidance.
Sure.
I help them where I can. So I'm not one of these that go, I'm only here for the English women. I will support any woman, no matter what creed, colour, creation, religion. Even though I'm an atheist, I took a Muslim woman into my house because her family were trying to people traffic her.
Right.
By sending her out to Somalia to marry a man, bring him back into the UK. A few months later, delac, delac, delac. Off you go, get yourself another husband, bring him into the UK. When she said no, they wanted her passport, which they intended to sell for £50,000. She said no again. Her cousin attacked her. He intended to kill her, which would have been an honor-based killing.
Well, yes, and I don't want to cut you off. I don't want to get too far off in anecdotal stories because I think for people who don't believe you, the data and the overall picture is going to compel them more. I do want to ask you something, though, personally, before we go. As someone who is – you were open about it, and you can tell me if I'm crossing any lines. You mentioned being gang raped, which is, you know, heart-stoppingly shocking. Right now, you also said that you hated the feminazis. So you have people like Lena Dunham out there. Or things being taught in college that any regrettable sex is rape, that any PIV, they call it penis in vagina, is rape, that any drunken sex is rape because a woman doesn't have the right to consent. Lena Dunham claimed she was raped when she did a bunch of drugs, Xanax, consented, and then later regretted it. That's the big culture right now, the microaggression culture. And people like me who say, well, that's really belittling to women who were actually raped, are considered rape apologists. Where do you line up on the idea of rape culture and what constitutes an actual rape? Because that's up for debate now.
There's several things that people have to remember. I mean, I was unfortunate. When I was gang raped by four men, five men and a woman. So I was raped by a woman too. And the law in this country says a woman cannot rape a woman because she can't have penetrative sex.
Okay.
Because she doesn't have penis, therefore she can't penetrate, therefore they don't class it as rape. It's sexual assault, sexual abuse, but not rape.
Okay.
Now, for those women, we get them here where they go out on a night out, they're three parts pissed, putting it quite bluntly. They then cop off with some young man. Off they go, they have a bit of fun, start to sober up a bit, think, bugger, they didn't want that to happen. He raped me. No, he didn't rape you at all.
Right.
You were stupid enough to get so drunk you didn't know what you were doing. I do believe that, yes, we can all go out and have a drink. You get falling down drunk, don't know what you're doing. Don't blame the guy you've been coming on to all night that you've gone back to his place with and you've ended up having sex. Well, if you have not got quite that drunk, you would have gone home.
Right. Well, I think that's reasonable. I think people would say, well, guys, and I do think that guys should be better than that and should try and, you know, chivalry shouldn't be dead, but it's not the same kind of a motivation as forceful gang rape so much as both people drunk and, you know, not really knowing what they're doing. So would you say that that is a disservice to women of who are victims of actual rape?
Yeah, I think it is a disservice. And you also have to remember there's also different types of rape. You've got grooming, where they could groom you for a long period of time. The man who was the ringleader with me groomed me from the age of 10 to the age of 15 before he decided to do what he did. Because then I trusted him implicitly. I was never going to doubt him. I was never going to feel unsafe with him. So it was all planned down to the last detail. Then you've got the guy on the streets who grabs a woman in a bus shelter, drags her behind a bus shelter and rapes her. There are different, there's opportunist rapist, there's grooming rapist.
Right.
I do believe that no means no. I believe a minute a woman says no, I don't care how drunk you are, the word no means no,
right.
You stop. End of. But I don't believe that you can go to the point where he's actually on top inside and then you go, no, I changed my mind, get off, you just raped me. Well, no, he didn't.
Right.
And yeah. They do a disservice to genuine rape victims, and we have a big enough problem for women and girls here right now to be believed. This is the thing that infuriates me. When somebody comes to you and tells you they've been raped, you have to believe them.
Right.
That's really important.
Yeah, and it's getting to the point where a lot of people aren't. You have Mattress Girl, you know, who have you been following that story? there in the UK? Mattress Girl, she went around with her mattress on her back, claiming she had been raped. Well, one does, right? If you've been raped, you carry a mattress on your back and you walk around campus and you don't press charges and you tell everyone about your rape. And they unearthed the boy formally complained in front of, I don't know what you call it, some sort of college tribunal, which is basically you're guilty until proven innocent for men right now of rape. If someone accuses it, generally speaking, you're guilty. This is one of the rare instances where they said it really doesn't seem that way. They found texts of her demanding that he have that demanding anal sex from him, telling him what he wanted, talking about how great the sex was before. He was no longer interested in her. You could see a history of her becoming aggravated with him. And then she went out, claimed she was raped, mattress on her back. Mattress Girl. So this girl was held out as a feminist hero for a long time and still is if you go to Huffington Post. Mattress Girl at Columbia. A lot of people hear this story and don't realize that it was not rape. That this was a girl who was known to do drugs, who was very sexually demanding, and the guy flat out said, no, it didn't happen, and he was found not guilty. That's a big story here. And even with everything being said, we still say that guy's a rapist. You have across colleges in this country, they call PIV. Any PIV can technically be rape at any point. Because women, due to societal subjugation, actually have no ability to consent to sex. So there's this thing now pushed, and people like Lena Dunham and the New Feminists, they call it rape culture. And you may not necessarily be aware of it in the UK because you have an actual problem with rape culture right now. Here we have to create one where every man is a rapist.
You never like to be far beyond the English. That's what the problem is. You know, you have to create it because you do like to follow our lead.
Sometimes we do.
America's going to go, I don't like her. She hates America. I don't. Never been. Would love to go. But I do think that a situation like that, I don't know the story, so obviously I can't make a judgment without reading it. But that does. What that does, that's an insult to people like me. Mm-hmm. I find that offensive. And I would call her out as not even close to being a feminist, more of an ignorant idiot and a bit of a pillock. That should have shut her mouth when she couldn't get what she wanted, backed off and left him alone.
Right.
You know, but we do have cases here where you do get the woman who goes out, she's married and she gets off with somebody and one thing leads to another and she panics about the husband finding out. And by the time it gets to court, she finally admits, well, no, he actually didn't rape me.
Right.
It doesn't happen very often and it's very rare that happens because I think we've, especially right now, because, we've had fathers go to flats to try and get their 13-year-old daughters out of the homes of these Pakistani men's houses. Mm-hmm. And the police have been called by the fathers, and they've arrested the daughters for underage drinking, arrested the fathers for being there and barging into the flat, but the Muslim men have walked free.
Right.
You know, these are the kind of things we're facing. This has been going on historically now. I can go back, like I said, when I was on the streets, that girl was 12 years old. She was being pimped out. They were Pakistani. They were Muslim. When a client one night had beaten her quite badly. Mm-hmm. And I did the only thing I could do. I went to a police officer. Now, when you live at homes on the streets, you don't use your own name, which is why I get called Tony, because my name's actually Antoinette.
Okay.
I never knew her real name, but I always knew her as Claire. And because I'd taken her out of action by getting the police to take her, and obviously I don't know what happened to her after that. I don't know if she survived. I don't know if she got treatment, foster home, adopted. I have no idea.
Right.
But they then came after me. Now, I was on several occasions attacked and beaten with boots, kicked, punched, my hair dragged out. I was dragged along streets and down alleys. It was actually the act of a homeless man who charged it on one night that saved my life.
Yeah.
So I do know, and I know when they were doing it, I was told then I was white trash. I was a white whore. That I would now be every Muslim man's toy. That is what they wanted. I was going to pay back because her debt now became my debt.
Right.
Now, I'm lucky enough, I'm a survivor. I'm not a victim. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want anybody to go, this poor woman, because trust me, I'm one feisty English bird and I will not stand for anybody's nonsense now. But I had to fight to become a survivor because what it did to me was soul destroying. Sure. My family never knew until I was in my mid-20s. So the silence that they use is this thing of telling parents, you know, they get a girl into a position, they get her to perhaps expose her body, they take photographs.
Well, it happens here in the States, too, and it's not always Islamically driven, but like you're saying, there's a culture, and you see it in Islamic culture, in any Islamically run country, you see it in the way that women are treated. I mean, you see it in genital mutilation. What kind of a culture? I always talk, we'll let you go after this, but my dad and I have always talked about this. What kind of a absolute wimp are you as a man that you have no confidence in your sexual abilities to pleasure your woman, that you just decide to do away with her capability to do it anyway? Oh, she wouldn't know anyway because we had it mutilated. I mean, you must have no faith in your skills as a lover to do that.
I did a video pretty much along the same lines where I said the truth of it is that you have to rape because actually you have no idea what a clitoris is because you take that off
as right.
the opportunity. We have, I believe it's
I don't get the mentality. It's half the fun. I try and set the high score.
Well, we like to get a sat nav to give you a little bit of direction just to help you along the way
because sure.
Men are with directions. And they never like to ask anyone, do they?
No.
But I think we're getting somewhere in the region of 600 cases of FGM in the last, I believe it's something like the last 2 to 3 months, there have been 600. And we're also getting 400 little girls have gone missing in a space of a period of time.
This is in the UK?
Yeah, that we believe have been taken out of the UK to be female genitally mutilated. Right. They're now performing it on babies. We've had.
Well, that's important to know because people will say.
And not one case has got to court and been charged.
That's horrible. And it's important to note because you'll have people say, well, there are places that are Christian countries where people are being, you know, African countries where genitals are being mutilated.
That's true. They don't.
That is true. But nowhere in the UK or the United States do you have Christian sects that are mutilating genitals en masse. And, of course, everywhere in Islamic countries. Let's not deny an actual trend here. Tony, we have to let you go because of all our upgraded technology is acting up. So people can find you on Facebook and on Twitter, correct? Marias, M-A-R-I-A-S?
Yep, with a dot in between.
With a dot in between. Tony, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And we'll get that up. Hopefully people go check it out. And I'm glad to see you using, you know, what can be some horrible personal experiences to hopefully help other people.
Absolutely. And if you ever want me back on, let me know.
We absolutely will. Louder with Crowder. Tony, go check out Marias and stay tuned. If you enjoyed this video, you're not a feminist, so you can subscribe because you probably won't be triggered. Though you might be triggered. I don't know. Everyone gets triggered by something nowadays. Depends where you line up on the LGBTQAIF and a silent five. Everyone's welcome. But at some point, just know we'll probably make fun of you. Click one of the videos or subscribe, or don't. You don't have to. That's okay too. But we'll just make fun of you behind your back.